Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we've got our good friend Jonathan Zuck back on the show. Jonathan is a longtime member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 1999. He's one of the leaders, ladies and gentlemen, in the area of public policy with regard to technology, especially online technology as well, and including that as well. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and he's our good friend, Jonathan. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Jonathan, a few decades ago, somebody created something, and you probably know the names, but I don't, called what we now know as the World Wide Web, WWW. Some also known sometimes as the Wild Web, and so because of the way it was created, the way it was built out, and made available to the rest of us, it basically became a free and open conduit across which lots of different things were innovated and created, and a lot of people were connected. But as often happens, capitalism and democracy, or maybe I should say capitalism and the governments have gotten involved, and there's some people out there who want to do a couple of different to restrict the Wild Wild Web, the World Wide Web, and all the other components of it, the internet, email, etc., mobile. They want to restrict that through various either regulations or other restrictions, and there's a big debate about that going on right now, isn't there?
Yeah, there sure is in a lot of different areas. Whether it has to do with taxation of goods on the internet, or privacy regulation on the internet, or internet security, or child online safety, or freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
or access restrictions. It's certainly become front and center of a lot of political debates.
Well, but the big debate, I mean, all those things you just talked about, those are separate issues. We've talked about the internet sales tax issue with your associate, your fellow over there in your organization, Steve Del Bianco, was on here a few weeks ago talking about that. And the freedom of speech, that's the whole issue. But today I want you to help us focus on something that we've been talking about for a long time. And it's still being debated, and that's this idea of it's couched in the term net neutrality. And I've had you on the show, others on the show talking about net neutrality over the years. This, I don't know if it's an unfortunate term, if it's a diversionary term, or what, but this whole idea of net neutrality is very complicated, but it's one that I think small business owners need to know about because they're going to have to weigh in on this debate, aren't they?
In the end, people are going to have to speak up for sure, and it is a little bit of a complicated debate because the term has remained the same, but a lot about the debate has changed underneath,
right.
and that's part of what adds to the confusion because who wouldn't want the network to be neutral?
Right. But the term doesn't necessarily mean the people who are net neutrality advocates are not necessarily always interested in having a neutral net.
Well, exactly right. I mean, in the end, it almost always comes down to whose business interests are being pursued, right? It's not...
Right.
There's no pure public interest debate that's really taking place. But a number of years ago, when the issue first surfaced, it was really about companies being concerned that internet service providers, whether it's the phone companies or the cable companies, et cetera, would block their service or degrade their service compared to a service that they owned, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a concern that if the cable company provides television content in addition to the internet, that they may slow down the TV over IP services that might be trying to make themselves popular.
If I created my own business, to compete with them, and I wanted to connect to the internet through them, they might degrade my service.
That's right, because it would compete with another part of their business.
Right.
I mean, and that was the concern at the time.
Is that still a concern?
Well, I mean, a lot of people still paint it as a concern, but I don't really think it is. I think the political environment, at the very least, is such that it'll be difficult for anybody to engage in business practices of that type.
Right.
Because it hasn't really happened.
Hold on to that thought, Jonathan. We're going to come back, folks, and sort this out again, because this is an issue that's coming up again more and more, and especially under this administration. 20 till the hour. We'll be right back with Jonathan Zuck. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. My blog is there, my knowledge base, the Brain Trust, articles, archives, lots of stuff there that will help you. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Jonathan Zuck is our guest. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org, right, Jonathan?
That's right.
So, folks, check that out, and we'll get Jonathan to tell us a little bit about ACT in a minute. We're talking about net neutrality, the net neutrality debate. That's really the way I should say it, isn't it, Jonathan? I shouldn't say we're talking about net neutrality, because there's another side to that issue, but it's generally considered to be the net neutrality debate. Tell us what you think. What is the classic definition of net neutrality? Not what it sounds like, but what is the people who are proponents of net neutrality, what do they think?
Well, and again, I think those proponents have changed over time as well. In some measure, it began by, people that were sort of in the online industry, just worried that their content would get slowed down or degraded or something like that. And so the original concept of net neutrality was compared to when AT&T was finally told that customers should be able to plug whatever device they wanted to into a phone jack in a house.
Right. For example. Back in the 80s.
Originally, you could only plug in an AT&T phone into the phone socket. And so if you think about it, we wouldn't have had dial-up internet and modems if you weren't allowed to plug your computer in.
Right.
So there's a lot of fondness for that rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of began, the debate sort of began there. And over time, these four principles evolved that involved, not degrading, that you could plug any kind of device in, that everything would work, and then you wouldn't degrade, the service of any particular mm-hmm. service provider. And there's actually a kind of consensus that has formed in the industry, including with the internet service providers there. So, fundamentally speaking, I think network neutrality means that if I have a service, you're not going to block it or degrade it, and that, if I'm a customer and I've bought a certain level of service from you, I'm going to get that level of service regardless of, like 1 megabit, speed of service, right? I'm going to get that service regardless of what site I'm trying to
use. Or if you connect me to the internet, but I don't take your movie subscription, you're not going to degrade the movie subscriber that I, the movie vendor that I do subscribe to. That's your competitor.
That's right.
Obviously that sounds intuitively like net neutrality.
That's right, and I think that.
The only reason I make that point is because there was a time when the people who were so-called proponents of net neutrality seemed to be the opposite. Interested in the opposite. Am I wrong about that?
Well, no. Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I think that was historically what the proponents of network neutrality wanted. What has happened since then is that given the momentum of having reached consensus on that level of network neutrality, there's the desire to add another restriction, which is a restriction on the ability of ISPs to sell a kind of premium service.
ISPs are the people who connect you to the internet, folks.
That's correct.
Go ahead,
Jonathan. Service providers, so the cable companies, the phone companies, the fixed wireless, et cetera.
Right.
Mobile internet. And so the question is, if I run a fiber optic cable to your house that's capable of 20 megabits of data, right?
Right.
And you buy 5 megabits of data from me, right? What happens to the other 15, right? And so the question becomes, should an ISP have the ability to go out to a particular service provider that wants to and say, look, I have this extra bandwidth, and if you're willing to pay a premium, then I can make sure that your content gets to the home faster than everyone else's. And I think at that point you have opportunities, including opportunities for small businesses, to take advantage of that sort of flexibility of the excess bandwidth, if you will, that's above and beyond the customer expectations. And the bottom line is
how would that benefit small businesses?
Well, for example, one of our members has a
you're not talking about a small business user like me. You're talking about a small business innovator.
That's right.
You're talking about a technology, a company, a small company that is producing innovations for the internet.
That's right. And one hopes that those innovations in turn become valuable to users, including small businesses. But yeah, I'm talking about an innovator. So I mean, one of our members, for example, has real-time, blood pressure monitoring, heart rate monitoring, and things like that, right? And to track your health, and they need a different level of service. Like they can't afford to have it drop out. And so they might, in order to make their business succeed, they may negotiate something that reserves a pipe so that that's always working.
So how does net neutrality impact them?
Well, if the current proponents of network neutrality have their way, I wouldn't be able to create that kind of contract.
You wouldn't be able to go out and okay, see, this is where it gets complicated, right?
That's right. I mean, in one case, it's about not degrading my service vis-a-vis others. In the other case, it's about giving someone extra service.
Mm-hmm. Net neutrality keeps it free and open, but it also limits my ability to negotiate some kind of a transaction inside of that. And when we come back, I'm going to get Jonathan to help us understand what this means to regular small business, Main Street small business owners who are just users of the internet, not necessarily innovators. Stay with us.
Don't let your troubles make you cry.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Having a great visit with our good friend Jonathan Zook, talking about net neutrality. It's a complicated issue, but folks, it is going to affect you. It's a debate that's been going on for some time now. I'm surprised that this thing is still being, you were still hammering this thing out, Jonathan. Before we get back into this, I want you to tell us about ACT Online, about ACT.
Sure. The Association for Competitive Technology is the IT Industry Trade Association. We represent over 4,000 small and medium-sized businesses here and around the world on public policy issues that affect them.
Including net neutrality, and that's actonline.org. You can go there and find out the things that they do and join them. And don't forget, this is not just for people who are innovators, who create technology, you have a vested interest in the projects Jonathan works on, just because you're a consumer of technology, whether it be technology you're holding in your hand or over the internet. Jonathan, tell us why an average Main Street mom and pop small business should care about what happens to net neutrality.
Well, in some ways, this debate is not much different than just about every other debate that happens, in that there's this fundamental philosophical discussion between, government-provided services and private sector-provided services.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, if you're going with private sector provided services, you have to make sure that the government doesn't put itself in a position of making that market so uninteresting that those services don't get provided. In this case, it's the faster internet capability, which is actually going to require a huge infrastructure investment, both in terms of wire lines to the house and wireless as well, in terms of towers. So there's a big investment that needs to be made. So you either got to decide the government's going to be the one making the investment,
mm-hmm.
or you've got to make sure the market is such that the rewards are significant enough to justify.
But in the United States, in the United States, as opposed to South Korea, the private sector has built this out.
That's exactly right. The private sector has invested about $1 trillion.
All right, but back. I need you. I really need you to get to the point about why should small business owners even pay if they see an article on net neutrality? Why should they even pay attention?
Well, I think the reason they should pay attention is that the network neutrality debate that really interests them has already been resolved, and the debate that's going on right now is companies like Google trying really hard not to have to pay for the infrastructure build-out that needs to take place.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to pay their share, and they want that all to fall at the feet of phone and cable companies.
So let me see if I can...
That's really the debate.
Let me see if I understand this. Companies like Google are putting extra demand. They're putting extra demand on the infrastructure, and more so than I am in my little company, and they don't want to pay a disproportionate share of the extra demand that they're putting on it. They want to be able to flow over the internet as inexpensively as I do.
That's exactly right. And so
the providers, like Verizon and AT&T are resisting that, aren't they?
Well, I mean, that's exactly right, because they don't want to raise your prices. I mean, and that's what it boils down to. I mean, this stuff that has to be done to get faster internet is going to cost money. There's no way around that. And so the question is, you get these huge volume content providers to help subsidize that, or do you raise prices on every consumer and every small business?
So in order to build out the technology, somebody's got to pay for it. And since AT&T and Verizon don't want to go it alone, they want to require the people who put the biggest demand on the system to contribute to that and charge them a higher price. That's where the debate is right now, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
And so small business owners could wind up being collateral damage in all that, right?
That's exactly right, because I mean, you know, the money's going to come from somewhere. If it doesn't come from Google, it's going to come from you.
Right. Or if they're able to start charging Google more, they could start charging me more because I use more than my neighbor does who has a different kind of business. Could that not happen?
Well, I mean, you already have a situation where people that want more pay more.
Yeah.
That's not so much the issue. It has more to do with content providers. Right.
Right? What's going to happen? Jonathan, I got about 30 seconds. What's going to happen?
It's going to go on for another 10 years.
Really? So we shouldn't even...
The FCC just lost their power to deal with this, and it's
right.
going to become a congressional issue.
Interesting. Well, I think the way it's been working has been pretty good. The marketplace has been making these decisions.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and exactly that's what right. we need to do, is just let the marketplace continue to sort this out. And so maybe the good news is the government is not going to have as much influence over this in the future. I hope that's the case. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for being here. Good job today. Jonathan Zuck, ladies and gentlemen. ACT, Association for Competitive Technologies, actonline.org. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingham, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.